Now, here on the BBC World Service, witness history. I'm Louise Hidalgo, and today I'm taking you back to post-war Paris. As the Second World War came to an end in 1945, hundreds of thousands of former prisoners and survivors of the Nazi concentration camps began the long journey home across a ravaged Europe. In Paris, the new French government allocated one of the city's grandest hotels to receive survivors returning to France and reunite them with their families. This is the story of the Hotel Lutetia.
Les feuilles mortes se ramassent à la pelle. Tu vois, je n'ai pas oublié.
Oh, ben j'y pense tout le temps. J'y pense, mais enfin, plus sereinement.
Les souvenirs et les regrets aussi.
I think about it all the time. All the time.
Plusieurs fois par semaine, j'ai
I go past the hotel every week on the bus, and I always think back to that time, in 1945. Waiting for my father.
J'attendais mon père.
Christiane Omido was 11 years old when her mother and father were arrested by the Gestapo. The Germans had occupied Paris the previous year and her parents had been helping the resistance. Christiane's father was sent to a concentration camp for political prisoners. Her mother was sent to Auschwitz. It would be 3 years before Christiane saw her father again at the Hotel Lutetia in Paris.
He must have arrived a few days before because he was wearing a suit. A cheap suit, but a suit. But he looked so weak and he was so thin, I hardly recognized him. It was a big shock seeing him. And he said to me, goodness, how you've grown. And of course I had, but maybe it was he who'd got smaller. And he told me they'd walked for days on this death march out of the camp and that his feet were bleeding. But he said all he'd been able to think about was getting back home to Paris in time for my birthday. And it was my birthday. That day at the Lutetia was my 14th birthday.
La mer efface sur le sable.
160,000 people were deported from France by the Nazis during the war, almost a half of them Jews. Less than a third would return. And in Paris, many of those who did make it back, like Christiane's father, passed through the doors of the Lutetia.
Nous proclamons quand l'Allemand est à Paris.
It was France's wartime leader in exile, Charles de Gaulle, who decided that this grand hotel on Paris's famous left bank, which had once been frequented by the likes of Picasso and James Joyce, Josephine Baker and Jean-Paul Sartre, would be where people returning from the concentration camps and prisoner of war camps of Europe would be brought. The Lutetia had been built in France's golden age in 1910. During the war, however, the Nazis had requisitioned it. Now France was reclaiming the Lutetia. And in its glistening corridors and seven floors, 350 rooms, where de Gaulle himself was said to have spent his honeymoon, the survivors would be cared for and reunited with their families.
I was a child, you know, and I knew the building because it's a beautiful building. But I've never been inside such a luxurious place.
Maurice Kling had been arrested by the Gestapo on his 15th birthday and sent to Auschwitz with his parents and older brother. He was the only one to return. And now, aged 16, he remembers the day he arrived at the Lutetia.
So I entered in the, what do you call them?
The revolving doors?
Yes, yes, that's it. And then there was, a soldier who sent powder, you know, DDT, right nearly in my face.
That was the pesticide DDT, which is now banned, of course, but which was used a lot during the war, wasn't it, to control fleas and diseases like typhus?
Yes, so it was a very strange welcome.
And once you got inside the hotel, what happened there?
Then inside, we had the medical check, we had a police check for the traitors were hiding, just to check who was French, who was not. And
that was because some of the people who'd collaborated with the Nazis during the occupation tried to sort of pass themselves off, didn't they, as former prisoners or returnees to escape retribution.
Yes, yes, that's that. And then in the hall of the big hotel, there were hundreds of photographs of the families who hoped that the member of their family would be recognized.
You've said that was one of the hardest things, seeing these families who were just desperate for news of their loved ones who'd been deported.
Yes, they asked, did you know so and so? They didn't know there were millions of people sent there and very few survivors at the end. And so we had to discuss with all these families, and really we were tired of telling them, don't hope.
Some, like Maurice, were lucky, of course. The French singer Juliette Gréco, for example, was reunited with her mother and her sister, the Lutetia, both of whom had survived the concentration camps. But for every one that came back, there were many more that didn't.
Since April, every morning on the radio, they'd read out this long list of the deportees who'd arrived at the Lutetia to inform their families.
One morning in June, Cristiano Mido heard her father's name read out.
And I just remember rushing out of the door. I don't know if there was school that day or not. I don't think I even thought about it. I lived with my aunt in a suburb of Paris, and she said I could go. And I remember arriving at this huge square outside the Lutetia. At that time, there was a square, no cars. And it was full of families waiting. And I just remember this great building in front of me and this silence. It was so silent. And someone told me to wait and they'd get my father. And so I waited and I waited. And then, finally, there he was, walking towards me. And it was very emotional. Emotional and sad. Sad because my mother hadn't come back.
Christiane's mother, Josephine, Christiane learned years later, had died in Auschwitz in March 1943. At the Lutetia, volunteers worked around the clock to look after those that did return. Some, racked with disease and hunger, arrived on stretchers. Most were skeletally thin. Many still wore the striped pyjama uniforms of the concentration camps. For Parisians who went to the Lutetia during those months, it was their first insight into the horrors of what had gone on. Maurice Kling weighed 28 kilograms when he returned to Paris, half what a 16-year-old should weigh. He was reunited with his grandparents and an aunt, and after a while returned to school. But he says he never spoke to anyone about his time in Auschwitz.
No, because I didn't want to be different. Because I wanted to be like everybody else. I didn't want to shock them at what I knew.
Cristiano Mido says her father also never spoke about what he'd seen or about her mother.
There was always my mother's absence between us. It weighed heavily on us, but we never spoke about it. There was just silence.
C'était le silence.
Cristiano Mido today lives in central Paris. Maurice Kling, though as a boy he didn't talk about his memories, did write them down. And in 1999 he published a book, An Enfant à Auschwitz, based on those writings. Today he lives in the Paris retirement home for war veterans, Les Invalides. They were talking to me, Louise Hidalgo, for Witness History.